Thank you guys for choosing Weekly Politics. For this episode, we're going to go over some basic facts of the Israel-Hamas war, and we're going to go over who is right and who is wrong. Because I have a very, I don't know how you put it, I am on Twitter, like, a lot, and I know Twitter is not the best place to get your news from, especially Twitter. It's really bad. But I like Twitter. And by the way, Weekly Politics has a Twitter account, and I highly suggest you follow it because it's my Twitter account. It's cool. So if you have a Twitter, then follow me at Weekly Politics on Twitter because that would be cool and nice. Let's get to the episode now. So who is right in this war? It's really hard to tell because the news, if you read the news and you watch the news and you listen to the news, they're going to seem like they're taking a middle stance. They'll say, Israel was attacked and it was terrible. Over 1,300 Israelis died, most of them civilians. Hamas just slaughtered Israeli civilians and it's absolutely terrible. Israel has to strike back. But then they'll also say, oh no, it's terrible. Israel is killing and slaughtering Gaza civilians and it's just a terrible thing. It really is horrible. And they're not wrong. Every single civilian that dies is a horrible death. But it sounds like they're trying to take a centrist view, and there is no centrist view, and I'm going to get to that really quickly. So when the news says all of these things, what they're really trying to say is, well, we don't want to take sides. We want everyone to be able to look at this and see an unbiased view of everything, which is the first time I think they've done this since World War II. And that's, believe it or not, that's actually true. World War II, the news, what do you want to call media, they were very unbiased because they had lost a lot of their, people lost faith in the media during World War I because it was used as propaganda and all of that and all that whatnot. So in the United States, they tried to become very unbiased during World War II. And it sort of worked. I mean, people gained more faith in them, but it also meant that the Holocaust wasn't reported on. Even though they knew about it, they just didn't report on it because there was little faith in the news. So good things happened because people gained faith on the news and they were more truthful. And a bad thing happens, they didn't report on the Holocaust. So it seems like a similar thing is happening here. The news is trying to be very unbiased. And during this process of supposedly becoming very unbiased, they're actually hiding some very, very important key details that need to be talked about of this war. This is an atrocious war, okay? Every single person who dies is a terrible, tragic death. Every single Israel, even a soldier who dies, is a terrible death. I'm not here to tell you that that some of these deaths are okay or some of these deaths are reasonable. I'm here to tell you that there are some very important facts that are being left out by every single media company. Every single one. And I know this for a fact because I have watched Fox News. I have read Fox News articles. And Fox News is a very right-wing media company. And they do leave out these facts. Same as CNN, same as ABC, same as Reuters. All of these media companies, they leave out the very important fact. And the question then goes to be, what is this important fact? What is keeping these news articles from actually telling you the real truth while they're at the same time trying to be as unbiased as possible? And the answer for that is quite simple. It's Hamas is a terrorist organization. We're going to start with that. They all tell you Hamas is a designated terrorist organization. They'll tell you that, and plain and simple. And they'll talk about Israel's attacks on Hamas, which, by the way, right now, Israel has a massive military brigade, building up on the southern border of Israel that borders the Gaza Strip, which means there's going to be a land invasion. By the time you're hearing this, the land invasion has probably already started. But as of, what day is it? It's Tuesday. 1 o'clock in the night, 1 p.m., it hasn't started yet, but it will probably start tomorrow. Probably. So with that out of the way, Hamas is a terrorist organization designated by the United States, but even if it was not designated, they are a terrorist organization. Every single thing they do is to destroy the Jews. Every single thing they do is to destroy everyone who is not like them. They envision a world controlled by the Sunni Islam religion. Now, I want to make a distinction. I don't know how you say that, but that word. between Sunni and Islam. Because Sunni is supposedly a sect of Islam, but in reality it really isn't. Islam is a religion, very similar to Christianity, but more strict on the supposed patriarchy. More men have more confirmed and sincere control over the family and over every single thing. Women are more subject to men and considered as secondary beings almost in that religion. That is the difference between Islam and Christianity in terms of the basics of how you see them, the basics of their society. Obviously, the religion and how they worship is way different, but in terms of how they look in society, that is the differences. So with that out of the way, what is the difference between Sunni and Islam? Well, the difference between Sunni and Islam is Sunni is everything that Islam is, plus added to it. What they add to it is martyrs. And obviously, every single Muslim believes that martyrs go to heaven, but what Sunni adds to the martyr part is, if they start a war, unprovoked, they just simply start a war, and then they die in that war, they think they are martyrs, so then they think they go to heaven. And that is a very important thing to understand. They think this, the reasons why they think this, and all of this goes down to why civilians are dying in Gaza. Every single little bit of it. That is why we have to understand why they think this, that they think this. We have to understand every single thing about Sunni, specifically Sunni, in order to understand why civilians are dying in Gaza. So as of right now, there are multiple military outposts, or military, I don't know what you want to call them, station sites, in the Gaza Strip that Hamas has control of, obviously because they're in the Gaza Strip. All of them are located in civilian areas, whether in civilian buildings or just within the neighborhood or in the basement of a civilian building, every single one of them. And not only this, but they actually fire rockets from residential buildings, daring Israel to attack that residential building every single time. So what this means is Hamas is trying to become a martyr. They believe their only guarantee to heaven is by becoming a martyr. So what are they going to do? Well, in their Sunni religion, they think that if they start a war and then die in the war they started, then they're technically a martyr, right? So all they have to do is start a war against Israel, knowing they're going to lose, and die. But they have two goals. Their first goal is, we want to guarantee that we're going to heaven. We also want to destroy the Jews and the Israeli people. So if they win, they complete the second goal. If they die, well, they complete the other goal. It's a win-win situation for them. We kill them all, they go to heaven. In their mind, they don't actually go to heaven, by the way. I'm a Christian, I don't think they do. But in their brains, and the people they have authority over, think that their leaders of the Hamas will go to heaven when they die. So it's, in one way, a propaganda campaign. In the other way, it's trying to accomplish an actual goal, destroying the Jewish people. And then later on, the Christian people. And all of this is, it's sad. The way Sunnis think, the way this has to be. All of these news stations, they leave this out. And this is really important information. Yes, every single civilian who dies in the Gaza Strip is a tragedy. Every single one of them. But the Muslims who live in the Gaza Strip are Sunni. We have to understand that. This means that they are going to purposely put these Hamas terrorists, the leaders, they're going to fire attacks from civilian areas. The only way for Israel to survive, to respond, is by attacking those civilian areas. And I'm not saying Israel should not try to minimize civilian deaths. They absolutely should try to minimize civilian deaths. 100%. Last time I checked, over 400,000 Gaza residents are homeless now. Because Israel destroyed the vast majority of residential buildings in the northern Gaza Strip. 400,000. That is almost 25% of the Gaza population. That's incredibly high. Another very interesting fact is 3,000 Gazans. I'm going to call them Gazans because I don't like to call them Palestinians because they're not Palestinians. They are not under the control of West Bank Palestine. They are under control of Hamas, a terrorist group, which is not part of the West Bank. They are not Palestinians. They are Sunni Islamist terrorists. 3,000 Gazans have been killed. And yes, every single one of those Gazans who were killed is a tragedy. Every single one of them. So let's put this into a bit of perspective here and to understand why Israel continues to attack Gaza. Israel has been dropping flyers in northern Gaza Strip. And the flyers are basically saying, hey, you're in the northern Gaza Strip. We're going to move in. We're going to bomb your territory. Move. Every single civilian, they've been sending text messages even, saying every single civilian needs to leave this area immediately. It's going to be bombed. And they send that to every Gaza civilian. Because they have the technological prowess to do that. I don't know how, but they do. The civilians, they either don't leave because they don't want to leave because they think they'll become a martyr and then they'll go to heaven. Or they don't leave because they're forced to stay there. Or they leave, but then get forced back. Or they're told not to leave by the Hamas authority, telling them not to leave and to stand their ground, quote unquote. It's not Israel's... Okay. Every time Israel bombs a territory and a civilian dies, you might think, okay, that's Israel's fault. Not this time. Israel is telling the civilians, urging them to leave. They don't want to kill the civilians. They want to kill the Hamas terrorists, which are intermingled in between five civilians. So to get one terrorist, they might accidentally kill five civilians. So they're trying to tell those civilians to leave so that they can bomb out the terrorists and destroy the terrorists. Eliminate the Hamas terrorist threat forever. And that's, yes, that kills a lot of civilians. Because civilians are not leaving. Some are, yes, and some have escaped death, thankfully, thank God. But they're not. The majority of them are not leaving. The majority of them have stayed, and a lot of them have died. It's not a good thing. All of their blood is not on Israel's hands, but on Hamas's hands. Because Hamas uses their own people as human shields. That is what you call it. By the way, that's a war crime. It's ridiculous. And this war is tragic. Entirely, completely tragic. And every single death in it is going to be... It's going to be forever remembered. This war is going to change the Middle East forever. That is guaranteed. What isn't guaranteed is whether it changes the world forever. See, Iran says that if Israel continues with planning this invasion of northern Gaza, and if Israel actually carries it out, Iran says they will have no choice but to move in and attack Israel, get involved in the war, interfere. That's a dangerous thing. Iran has no nuclear weapons, by the way. They are working on nuclear weapons. They have a nuclear deal that is favorable for them to get nuclear weapons, but they do not currently hold nuclear weapons, which is good. I don't want them to have nukes, man. Them having nukes would not be good. If they were to get involved in this war, the United States would almost guaranteed have to get involved as well. Because Israel is right now fighting Hamas. If Iran themselves get involved in this war, so will Hezbollah from the north. That means Iran will come in from the east, Hezbollah will come in from the north, Hamas is coming in from the south. That is a three-front war. The United States has two aircraft carriers currently. One is already stationed in the eastern Mediterranean. It's the Gerald R. Ford carrier. Another one is going to be stationed there within the next week, I think. It's the USS Eisenhower aircraft carrier. It's a generation older than the Gerald R. Ford, but it's still incredibly technologically powerful and incredibly advanced aircraft carrier in general. It's an incredible ship. It really is. And it's going to be moving to the Eastern Mediterranean as well to help provide stability. Another thing the U.S. has done is moved aircraft closer to the combat area just as a show of force. Now, what's the point of a show of force if you're not going to use it? So the show of force is to try to keep Hezbollah out of the war, which, is it working right now? It looks like it might be working right now. Maybe. But I don't know how much longer it's going to work. So Hezbollah and Israel have been exchanging small fire. So Hezbollah will, fire a couple rockets into Israel. Israel will intercept them and bomb the area where they fired the rockets from. Or they'll go in and kill a couple Hezbollah, what do they call them? I'll just call them terrorists because that's what they are, terrorists. It's small fire right now. Significant, but small fire. And the only reason why I think it isn't increasing is because Hezbollah is like, okay, the U.S. military is moving troops closer, moving planes closer. I don't want them to get involved in this war, so let's test it. Let's do some small fire and see what happens. And since we're not... Well, we are doing something. We're moving another aircraft carrier to the region, which is the Eisenhower. If we don't do anything else and Hezbollah keeps doing that small stuff, those small attacks will enormously increase to large attacks. Israel will have a full-on invasion from Hezbollah into Israel. Hezbollah is located in Lebanon, if you did not know this, which is sad because Lebanon used to be a beautiful country before it was completely destroyed by the Sunni Islamic religion. The Sunni Islamic religion does not care about advancing humanity. It cares about advancing its own personal goals. And its own personal goals is religious conquering. Conquering the world through religion. Not empowering the world. Not giving the world better advancements to advance society further. No, it does not care about that. It cares about conquering the world through its own religion and destroying those who disagree with it. That is the Sunni Islamic religion's goals. So with that out of the way, what should the United States do? Well, the United States should get involved with this war. We need to use those troops. Those planes we sent there, we need to start bombing Hezbollah targets in the north and bombing Hamas targets in the Gaza Strip. We need to bomb Iranian government buildings. We need to keep bombing Syrian airports to keep shipments from weapons from landing there. That is what we need to do. And you might think, well, that's a major provocation of the war. How is that going to stop other countries from entering? How is that going to stop Russia from sending weapons? Well, first of all, Russia has their hands tied in Ukraine. Plus, there's a possible war that may or may not break out between Armenia and Azerbaijan, which will be really interesting and I can talk about another day because it would be a small war. They're small countries, but it can mean a lot, especially with the chaos in Israel right now. How would that keep China from sending weapons, though? Well, it might not keep China from sending weapons. I'm just going to flat out say that. But Chinese weapons would get demolished by American technology, so it does not matter if they send weapons or not. Plus, we can sanction China like we're doing right now, and the UN would not support China sending weapons to Hezbollah or Hamas. And the UN is a very powerful force when it acts against China, because China relies on world trade enormously. They don't sell, or they don't buy other products, they sell their products. Which means, if you want to destroy China, you just stop buying their products. And the UN would very likely do that if they were to send weapons to Hezbollah, Hamas, or Iran. So with all of this, we must understand one thing. Israel is in the right. Israel is correct in their attempts to eliminate Hamas from the world forever. In their retaliation against terrorism. We need to keep praying for Israel, because they need our prayers. This war, I'm not sure when it'll be over. It's possible it could be over at the end of the month. It could take 2 months. It could last years. It all depends on whether or not it expands. And let's just pray it does not expand, because an expansion of the war could be terrifying. It really could be. But thank you guys for tuning in. This was a interesting episode, mainly to explain all the chaos and confusion that's going on in the media right now. If you have a Twitter or X account, please follow me, Weekly Politics, if you're interested. I do posts on basically anything American politics. So you want to know about the new Speaker of the House that may or may not become Speaker of the House today? Follow me on Weekly Politics, and I also do Israeli posts about the latest news on the Israel advancements in the war. And yeah, I'll see you all then. Adios. God bless you.